This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
The bidding for 3PAR keeps heating up.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Well, it's been a back and forth between Hewlett-Packard and Dell that's continued now for the past couple of weeks over who's going to acquire data storage firm 3PAR. HP came back with a higher bid, the highest bid so far, at $2.07 billion, which 3PAR says is a superior offer. Just moments ago, Dell said it's going to give up on its bid for 3PAR. Today, Burger King agreed to be acquired by the investment firm 3G Capital for a little bit more than $3.5 billion. The fast food giant, which has thousands of stores around the world, has been a public company since 2006. Steve West is a fast food industry analyst and vice president of the equity research firm Stifel Nicolaus. He's with us live from St. Louis. Good morning.
Good morning. How's it going?
I'm doing well. So why was Burger King so pumped about going private in the first place?
You know, I think you have to take a look at who owned Burger King, really. Their biggest shareholders were another private equity firm, and these were the guys that bought Burger King from Diageo in 2002 and then took them public in 2006.
Diageo was another investment firm, right?
What's that?
Diageo was another investment firm, right?
Diageo was a publicly traded, basically a big liquor company out of London.
Okay.
And so when we look at that, the private equity firm that currently owns almost a little over 30% of the shares in Burger King have been looking to divest all those shares since 2006. And then when the market collapsed, they weren't able to do that. This allows them to divest all the shares in one big pop and then get out of that investment and move on to something different.
Burger King's been struggling lately, right? I mean, they tried to market themselves differently than McDonald's and the like, maybe targeting a younger audience?
Yeah, so I think as we look at the struggles of Burger King, it's not just a Burger King struggle. It's been a restaurant industry-wide struggle because of the recession we've been going through. And really, you look at McDonald's, Chipotle, and Panera, probably the only three restaurants that have really bucked the trends and done very well throughout this recession. And you're right, Burger King has kind of marketed more towards a much edgier type of marketing campaign, focused more on that 18 to 30-year-old single males, whereas McDonald's is much more broad-based, appealing to soccer moms, to old people, younger people, kids, or what have you.
Are we seeing any changes with Burger King with this deal, do you think?
I think what you'll be able to see is, coming out of the public eye, they will be able to leverage up the balance sheet a little bit more than what they have now. This will allow them access to more capital, and then they can turn that around and reinvest back in the brand with remodeling, upgrading their technology and things like that, which is something that McDonald's has been doing all along, and it's really a big competitive disadvantage for Burger King not to be able to do that.
Steve West, Vice President of the equity research firm Stifel Nicolaus, thanks for your time.
All right, take care. Right.
We're getting word from the Associated Press, just, again, moments ago, of another offshore rig explosion in the Gulf of Mexico, this time west of where the deepwater well exploded back in April, causing millions of barrels of oil to spill into the Gulf. No word on any injuries or whether the explosion took place on a drilling rig or on a production platform in the Gulf. Number of people filing for unemployment for the first time fell slightly last week from by 6,000 to 472,000. That's from the Labor Department this morning. Analysts say for sustained growth to take hold, that number should be far lower. And by the way, if you want to get a psychic perspective on the economy, listen to what our economic soothsayer has to say about tomorrow's unemployment report. That's at our website, marketplace.org. Let's do the numbers. Markets are higher right now by about 0.5% on average. The S&P up about 0.5%. Same for the NASDAQ. The Dow is up about 5 points, not quite as much as the other markets, at 10,274. European shares are mixed right now, and Asian shares closed higher today. China has the world's largest cell phone market. And starting this week, if someone wants to buy a cell phone there, They're going to have to hand over their personal information to the government. As Marketplace's China Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz reports, the new law is getting mixed reviews.
There are 814 million cell phone subscribers in China, and up to now, most of them bought prepaid SIM cards. It was as quick and easy as buying a bowl of noodles. Now the government is making China's mobile operators register all their users. Here in Shanghai, where everyone from school kids to old men seemed to be texting each other, the reaction was mixed. A woman who would only give her surname Tang wasn't thrilled. I'm just going to wait until the last minute to register my phone, she said. She didn't want to explain why, but the anonymity the Chinese have enjoyed up to now has given a lot of freedom, including the freedom to text politically sensitive jokes and to photograph public demonstrations without fear of punishment. Not anymore. But businessman Mao Shuiping isn't worried. Mao says the new law is a good idea. He says he lost his phone once, and because it was registered, he got it back. The government says it's implementing the new policy to help cut down on cell phone fraud and spam. In Shanghai, I'm Rob Schmitz for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree.com. Tools and personalized advice to help control your financial destiny are at the all-new LendingTree.com.
One of the new trends in urban living is growing veggies in a community garden, vegetables. But the new trend is conflicting with an old problem, crime, as Chicago Public Radio's Tony Arnold reports.
I'm standing here in the community garden of Jackson Park, located on Chicago's south side. There's no one around right now, and the garden itself is not that big, but it's wedged in between a major road and a golf course. And there's a sign up that says, "Do not steal our food. We work hard to grow our crops. If you'd like to grow your own food, we have plots available."
I've had things stolen. It's disappointing. It's frustrating. But I've still been able to reap the enjoyment of growing this plant.
Ben Helfand runs NeighborSpace, a land trust for community gardens. He says vegetable theft in an open space in a city of 3 million has been a problem since the gardens were created. Helfand says the best way to prevent stolen veggies is to simply be inviting with the space.
People are less likely to steal from sites that they know are well-tended and loved.
Helfand says he knows of one garden that purposely grows extra vegetables near the sidewalk for anyone to take as they please. In Chicago, I'm Tony Arnold from Marketplace.
And finally, the body that oversees European soccer has put the kibosh on the vuvuzela, that loud African horn made popular during the World Cup. The body says it wants to protect the game's, quote, culture and tradition. Translated, that means keep that piercing noise away from our stadiums. This is the Marketplace Morning Report in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.